I'd like to greet you this morning in the precious name of Christ. It's by the blood that he shed on the cross that we have this forgiveness of sin, and by his resurrection from the dead that we have this blessed hope of life eternal. It would be my desire that you'd find something in this message that you could use in the days to come in the midst of your great joys and triumphs, or perhaps your great difficulties and travails. God's given us everything that we need in his word to sustain us. So I hear my daughter screeching in one corner of the building, and my son is sleeping soundly in the seat back there. So if you hear a little boy crying, that'd be my son. It's still music to the ears, either way. The title of this message is Business as Usual, and the text comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, and we'll read those right out of the gate here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. The author is first and foremost giving us the source of our hope as Christians in Christ. And then he brings alongside this hope that we have. He brings alongside this reality that we're called not only to possess this hope, but also to fellowship with others that have this hope in Christ. So the text reads, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And verse 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So keep these verses sort of in the back of your mind, the back of your conscience, because I'm going to talk a little bit about why, at least from my own perspective, that this instruction to not give up meeting together, as the King James Version, I think, so elegantly puts it, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, why this instruction is so vitally important for us today. So keep these verses in the back of your mind. I ask you a question. Have you ever wondered how and when the simple Christian faith crossed over into a complex Christian industry? How the simple Christian faith crossed over to a complex Christian industry. What do I mean? I mean that the Christian label is applied in countless ways across multiple platforms for the express purpose of basically generating a profit, a positive financial return. And this is a trend that has exploded in my own lifetime, and yours as well, because many of you are much older than me. Christianity has found itself a very profitable marketing capability. From huge Christian music platforms that not only create, but also sell their worship of God to anyone willing to pay. There is a burgeoning movie industry that has produced some very wonderful productions very recently. There's been some really great films, all the while generating monetary figures with lots of zeros behind it. Christian books are a substantial money maker. Elevation Church pastor Stephen Furtick built a 16,000 square foot house on revenue that he made from his book sales. So he must be a modern day Shakespeare with his wordsmithing. And nothing says follow me as I follow Christ as a 16,000 foot house. The list goes on and on. Christian conventions, Christian podcasters, Christian YouTube channels, Christian chicken, Christian stores, Christian tour buses, Christian cruise ships, Christian counseling, Christian art, Christian t-shirts, Christian jewelry. The list goes on and on and on. And let me just say, I think most of this stuff is a good thing. I'm not against it. I'm not saying it's bad. I like watching Christian movies and productions. I enjoy that. Christian theater. I've seen some really great productions up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Sight and Sound Theater puts on some amazing theatrical, biblical-themed productions. I listen to Christian podcasts and YouTube commentators. I happen to read quite a bit of Christian literature. Imagine that. A pastor reads Christian literature. A lot of it's great stuff. I have attended some very powerful Christian conferences and conventions. They're very well done. Very powerful. I love Christian chicken. Haven't made it on a Christian cruise ship yet. Maybe one day. My point is not to rail against this stuff, because much of it is good for everyone, myself included. A worker is worth their due, whether writing books or filming a movie or leading conventions. I'm not putting them down. Everyone benefits when access to quality Christian products is readily available. And I'm sure you all have experienced that in your own life, the benefit of quality product, Christian product. That being said, I think it is important that we do not confuse a thriving Christian industry with a thriving Christian church. The two share a common theme, but are experiencing completely different outcomes in our culture today. The National Religious Broadcasters, in partnership with Barna Group, conducted a landmark study on the state of Christian media in the United States. It said more than 60% of American adults report consuming Christian media in some form, whether through television, radio, podcasts, news websites, social media, YouTube, etc. This is not an occasional interaction. Among these users, half engage with Christian content at least once per week. So 60% of American adults will seek out Christian media as an important aspect of their life. Compare that to a recent Gallup poll that suggested only 30% of U.S. adults regularly attend a Protestant Christian church service. Of course, you could argue it's much easier to put on headphones or watch a screen and listen to Christian content than it is to actually get in your car and drive to a physical church. But I think it's a poor argument, because many times the same people that won't drive 15 minutes to church will in turn then drive 3 hours to go fish. It's not a real good argument. You make time for the things that are important to you. And these two behaviors have been trending in opposite directions now for many years. Christian media and industry going up, and physical Christian church attendance going down. Christian industry has been gaining tremendous momentum over the past decade, so much so that streaming platforms such as Amazon and Netflix, I'm sure many of you are familiar with those, have actually shifted their service to incorporate a much wider array of faith-based material. This was not the case back in the day, but the popularity of such content has grown such that these secular streaming platforms said this is very profitable for us to include Christian programs. A very profitable genre that has crossed over into the mainstream. And many megachurch ministries have capitalized on this industry trend and have aggressively used the Christian Business Network to get their material into more hands, ears, and iPads than ever before. It's an exploding industry. Christian churches in general, on the other hand, have been steadily going the other direction. This is not being pessimistic. This is reality here, folks. With regular church attendance across the board continuing to decrease as the years go by. And sure, there are some churches that are experiencing great growth. Some are advertising, multiplying greatly. But keep in mind, a large part of their growth is in having creatively steered a large segment of that 30% of the adults that actually still attend church into their respective church doors. So they're sort of trading church membership, if you will. In many ways, Christian industry is thriving in this country, but Christian churches are, generally speaking, struggling. And I find that to be a strange statistic. It sort of boggles my mind how that is. How can the money-generating industries that represent Christianity be growing rich in this culture, in this country, while many local churches close down for lack of interest or involvement? And then to contemplate the obvious observation that in spite of the presence of countless, mega ministries across the land, countless media platforms and increased Christian music and film in this country, and despite all that, our country and culture and society has rapidly developed a deep and profound spiritual sickness. As the prominence of huge Christian industries and commerce increase, so too does this nation's chronic spiritual sickness. Again, I find this to be a strange phenomena. Perhaps put another way, never has there been more money in the coffers of these mega ministries. Never has there been more ways to get the message of, say, celebrity preachers out to the masses in today's world of internet and satellite. Never has it been easier for big-name Christian companies to get their professionally produced productions into the hands of more people than ever before. Never has Christian industry seen a bigger audience or stronger bottom line. And yet, while we see in our society over the last 25 years or so has not been a spiritual great awakening, that's not what we're experiencing, but rather an accelerated decline into the toilet bowl of a civilization potentially doomed to the destructive effects of civil depravity produced by spiritual rebellion. It's a strange phenomenon. What's my point? My point is, in my estimation, somewhere along the way, the average Christian man and woman has ceased to view themselves as an essential and vitally necessary building block of God's kingdom, and instead has passively relegated that task to others. It shows up in our families, it shows up in our churches, it shows up in our use of our time and our resources. Somewhere along the way, the large bulk of the people that still actually do attend church increasingly do so in a way that requires less and less of their actual commitment and involvement. Somewhere along the way, Christianity has traded the personal responsibility of providing their life for the strength and the functionality of the visible church, and somehow expected others to provide that infrastructure. And in the process, we have developed some impressive ministries across the land. Big-time ministries, you can read about them all across the land, are popping up, that boast all sorts of statistics that tend to elevate a selective few, as Paul would call probably super apostles. There's quite a few super apostles in our culture today, but all the while the trend in this country is shifting dramatically away from practicing Christianity, both in lifestyle and worldview. My purpose is not to undermine the influence or legacy of Christian industry or mega church ministries or big time preachers. That's not my point. I'm not trying to undermine it. I'm merely suggesting that the Christian community, in my estimation, does not need more famous Christian teachers or actors or athletes that become household names. Not that they're bad, but I'm saying we don't need more of that. What we do need in this day and age is simply we need more serious Christian households. We need more serious Christian households. Think of it in terms of professional sports. The huge merchandise industry that surrounds, say, the National Football League, that only exists because there's an actual NFL, a group of athletes that gather every week to beat the tar out of each other on the field. It would be very strange, you would think it very strange, if every team's stadium was increasingly emptier and emptier on game day, and still the league would be pulling off these record profit margins, selling record amounts of merchandise. I'm talking about the entire league. We understand that the Panther Stadium has been rather empty for years now. I had to throw that in there. Half the church walks out, right? But we would call that a strange phenomenon if we would witness that. Empty stadiums, but increased revenue. Empty seats, but record sales. I am merely suggesting that this is exactly the trend that we see in the Christian community. Increasingly empty seats, but record sales. And I say all that to remind us that each one of us has a very important role to play. We may be unseen or unnoticed. Many of us go about our days and weeks without the broader world knowing we exist. And that really shouldn't matter either way, the fact that we're noticed or not, because God has entrusted us with the great responsibility of continuing the intentional gathering together of the church as a gathered physical presence in this world. You don't have to be famous to do that. You don't have to be popular to do that, but that is a great responsibility that God has put on each one of us to be the visible church in the world today. Christian industry has its important uses, but I say it's not foundational. It can only exist because the church exists in the first place. So the key to the future of the Christian faith is not in some auto-tuned billboard musical hit by some lady in a big hat. It is not in some new revelations from a self-proclaimed prophet that you can only discover if you pay $29.95 for the new hardcover book. It's not in some TV studio producing the latest and greatest televangelistic histrionics. It's not in the calf leather-bound, newly translated study Bible just put out by the Dr. Reverend Willy Wonka. The entire Christian money-making industry, in my estimation, could crash and burn in this country. I mean, practically completely disappear. And I dare say you would not notice any difference in the way the average person lives. Not because the industry is inherently bad or evil or anything, but simply because, in my estimation, it is not overly important in the grand scheme of true Christian living. If it was, you would see the opposite trend take place. Again, there's never been a time in history when Christian industry has been more popular, and yet churches are increasingly struggling. Christian media puts out Christian content in the hands of more people than ever before, and yet our increasingly secular culture is actively exploring ideas that would make even the pagan Romans blush. Because the strength of the true Christian movement has always been you and I being physically present. It has never been connected with fame or fortune or entertainment or popularity, but rather humble spirit-led devotion of the common man and the common woman. And that humble devotion has always shown up in the gathering of the saints in the local churches. That is why, again, forgive my rant, but that is why the author of Hebrews here makes a point to call everyone's attention to the necessity of Christian corporate worship, gathering together. That is, the gathering together, the local Christian community, for regular worship. Now, the Christian church existed long before any movies were made. Who was it, Charlton Heston? What was that movie, The Ten Commandments? Yeah, I mean, the church existed even before that ancient film. Before any Christian books topped the bestseller list, long before YouTube or Facebook, the Christian church was thriving. Before any podcasts or radio or any other industry that is present today. And I expect the Christian church will exist if ever these things would disappear. The entire Christian industrial complex could disappear tomorrow, and I guarantee you, faithful local churches would still be singing, they'd still be teaching, and they'd still be preaching. They would not skip a beat. They might not have the best new graphics or the best new Sunday school material, but they would go right on being the church. Because much of Christian industry, I say, call it the fluff of the gospel. It is not the force of the gospel. Think about this. When the nation's commitment to the necessity of gathering for Christian worship began to falter, when the nation's commitment to the necessity of saying, you know what, church is important and we're going to get together, when that began to falter, so did the integrity of its populace. Gallup News reported a 20 percentage point decline in church membership since 1999. This was an accelerated trend of an already existing decline that began to show up starting in the 1960s. So many of you were young men and women back in the 60s. So if you can remember that far back, that's when church attendance began to decline in this country. So basically, since the 1960s, the Christian church has experienced a declining commitment among the general population to actually show up for church. And I dare say, in this country, you can trace some of the most egregious departures from a biblical understanding of basic, I mean, we're talking basic civil morality and the created order in this same time frame. We've descended away from what God intended. So Christian industry is something that we all use, all appreciate, I'm sure, but it is the church that is built on the bedrock of Jesus Christ, and that the church has always been about gathering. And in that regard, the church is foundational. It's built on Christ, and its purpose was never to be simply entertained or passively attended, but rather to be personally interactive and relational. We were always meant to gather and be very active in worship, but not only worship, but also the encouraging of one another, the bearing of each other's burdens, interacting with each other in a real way. God gave us the great privilege of being able to gather for collective worship. He intended on the church to provide the organizational structure for dedicated Christian service and unity. You can have your own ideas or opinions as to how that structure is ordered and carried out. Look across the various denominations. They go about church in different ways, orders of structure and how it's carried out. But it was always intended to be an intentional local gathering of believers. So I'm not overly interested, me personally, in the grand boasts of huge ministries or the latest, greatest revenue statistics of a Christian movie. That doesn't really, I mean, I'm not saying it's not important. I just don't cue in on that stuff. Not because they're bad or wrong, but simply because I do not think that, all things considered, that they are going to provide any significant change of direction in this country. The Apostle Paul didn't travel to the then-known world trying to get Christian performers in the Roman theaters or Christian circus in the local arenas. He wasn't advertising a Gentile best-selling book or marketing prayer handkerchiefs. He wasn't autographing parchment copies or signing financial contracts. That's not what Paul was doing, or any of the early church. Rather, he sought to plant Christian churches attended by Christian believers, and he risked life and limb to do so at great peril to himself. The only Christian entertainment of that day was much different than our own. It involved Christian martyrs being brutally fed to the wild animals in the Colosseum, or savagely attacked by gladiators, or gruesomely tortured in the arenas. That was Christian entertainment. The only applause many early Christians heard was the standing ovation of their own deaths. It was a different time. But what I find quite amazing is that the newly formed Christian churches would still meet together. They still made that a priority, even though it was dangerous, even though that in some cases, or many cases, it was not even allowed. Adversity brought clarity to the hearts and minds of the saints. So in our own day of relative ease and comfort, all things considered, it is relatively easy and comfortable today. Many find it unnecessary or unimportant even to gather for worship. As Christian industry proves, many people like Christian products. Again, exploding industry. Many people like Christian products but have no real desire or motivation for true Christian living. It's an interesting statistic. A pastor, Andrew, I don't know his last name, from Connection Point Church, puts it like this. We've gotten comfortable consuming Christianity instead of living it. And when you really think about what that entails, it's quite troubling. The battle is for the hearts and minds of the common folk, me and you, you and I. I'm real common, I don't even know how to phrase it. For our families and the families that are come behind us. That's the battleground. Christian industry is great, but it will never be enough to steer this culture back to God, I don't think. To do that, we need men and women who devote their lives to the things of God, who lead their families in the things of God, and who make the Christian church a priority. Not because the church can save you in and of itself, but because God has given us the church to help us in our own lives together, but also to structure a society that honors Him. So goes the church, so goes the culture. If you don't believe that, take a trip to Europe. Until Christians rediscover the God-given strength that the gathering body of Christ wields, a great, powerful strength, until we rediscover that strength, we will continue to see our culture slide further toward a retrobate mind. Even as Christian sales skyrocket, our society, our culture continues to plummet. Call it what you will, depravity, whatever word you want to throw in there. If you are a Christian, the quickest way you can help change the world, the quickest way you can do that is by getting your backside into a spirit-filled local church seat. If you claim to wear the jersey, you should probably attend the gathering. So I would close with an example that I think may accent what I'm trying to communicate. I don't know, it might not. And Jack's not here to hear it, but it's about his Lego sets. He's shown me a few of them. Jack Cubbage has quite a few big Lego sets he enjoys. I think some of the ones he showed me were the Star Wars collection. Well, these impressive sets, when they're completed, they're made up of individual Lego blocks. Various sizes and shapes and functions. But the concept is that they each somehow lock together and form a completed model. So I don't know why, but again, I was thinking about Jack's Lego in my imaginative way to correspond with this topic this morning. If it's helpful, you know, great. If not, disregard it. Throw it out. So imagine with me a house where all the various Lego blocks would be separated from the others. They are isolated, but they are still claiming, with some good reason, to be an intricate part of the impressive set. Technically, they would be correct, but practically, they would be unused and insignificant because they never actually were part of the building that they were meant to build. They would be not much different than the pieces that got eaten by the dog, Roxy. Now imagine still these isolated Lego pieces actively engaged in playing Lego video games, of which there are many, or watching the various installments of the Lego movies, of which there are numerous, or reading the latest Lego magazine. You get the picture. Lego blocks engaging in Lego culture, but not actually building anything. You could have Lego pieces that were very interested in Lego culture and invested in the Lego industry. They could be encouraged by an industry that represents them, but never actually accomplished what they were made for, because they were content enough to have someone else simply creatively describe and interpret what the Lego life was. Again, these pieces engage in the Lego industry, but aren't really interested in personally building the Lego structure, the very one that they have specifically been bought for. Having the capacity for being used and actually being used are two different things entirely. So I don't know if you could imagine that with me, but that is what the detached Christian community is increasingly looking like. Individuals who identify as Christians, who are motivated and encouraged by Christian industry, such as film, music, and media, yet never actually participate in the most basic discipline of actually being a Christian, the gathering of the saints. Christians that have given up meeting together are just like Lego blocks scattered all over the house. They have great building potential, but refuse to get connected in that regard. So they're not living up to their potential or purpose. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, speaking of you and I, that we come to Jesus, the living stone, who was rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him. We too, you and I, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He goes on to describe this spiritual house being built on the precious cornerstone of Christ himself. So we're all Christian blocks, set apart for a special place in the kingdom that God is building. We all look a little different, act a little different, but we each have a part to play. We're each a piece in the building. And in this age of grace, God has set apart the church as the spiritual structure that makes up his body. Again, I understand. Don't come to me after service and say, well, the church is more than a building. I get that. I understand that. But gathering people need a place to meet. I don't care if you meet in a house or a stadium. Before we acquired this building, we met in, if some of you recall, we met in rec centers, we met in airports, we met in parks, and probably other places I can't even remember. We were still the church, and people still gathered for worship, regardless of where specifically that was. And in our intentional gathering, we are actively building upon each other in God's kingdom. So, read your Christian books, watch your Christian films, listen to your Christian podcasts, go on your Christian cruise ships, go out to the Christian movie, after the movie get some Christian chicken, but never confuse, at least, again, this is my advice to you, never confuse the industry of Christianity as a victorious replacement of the church of Christianity. We need to return to the historic understanding of business as usual for the church. It is not found in the complex Christian industry. It is not hiding in the cash register drawer. It is not contained in a modern business model, but rather in the scripture's simple call to never give up meeting together and encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day that is the return of Jesus Christ approaching. So I'll end with just the, I guess you'd call it, the thankfulness that this church contains dedicated, committed Christians who have made the gathering of the saints a priority in their life. That is enormous. And we can always say, well, yeah, we would like, if more people would make that a reality in their life. But this church has withstood so much in the past. I am confident it will withstand anything that the future brings against it. So I am thankful for each one that has made the gathering of the saints a priority in their life, and God, I know, will bless you for it. Let's pray. Father, as we contemplate the world we live in, we have much to be thankful for. So much good things Christian industry has brought, so much to our households that we benefit from, and we thank you for those great opportunities that we have. But as we survey a culture that is increasingly hostile to you, but yet Christian industry is increasingly profiting, it forms in our mind sort of a contradiction or a sense of how that is happening. So I pray that as we contemplate these realities, that we would be stirred and persuaded that you have called us to be more than just a viewer of a TV screen or a hearer of a headphone, that you've called us to be physically present and gather in worship, in prayer, and in encouraging one another, bearing each other's burdens, lifting each other up, saying, "How are you doing? God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister." Help us to make that a reality in our life. Help us to understand the importance of that, not only for our own well-being, but also our communities and our whole culture. So again, Lord, we thank you for each one here. I pray a blessing on their life, that you would bestow upon them immeasurably more than they could even ask or imagine. We love you. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.